Senior Power. This is Lynn McGregor.
And this is David Neely. And this next half hour of Senior Power will be filled with information and entertainment for
mature audiences only. David, did you know each year over 1,300 women gather in South Portland to swim, bike, and run in the Maine Cancer Foundation's Try for a Cure? It's Maine's only all-women's triathlon.
Wow.
Yeah, and thanks to the efforts of thousands of supporters, the Try for the Cure has actually raised more than $16 million, all which stays in the state of Maine.
That is unbelievable. All for the Maine Cancer Foundation.
That's correct. And I have an athlete here who knows more about it than I do. So let me introduce to you Roxana Brophy-Sear.
I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing well. I'm just curious to talk to you to find out more about the Try for the Cure and how you happened to start in it.
Yeah, so I've been actually the Try for a Cure's 14th year. And I've been doing it for 13 years. This will be my 13th year, and I am signed up again this year. I watched it the first year. I happened to live near where it happens, and I watched women competing in it the first year, and I thought, there's no way I'm not going to do that next year. So I did. I did do it, and have done it every year since.
Now, have you always, when you first started, did you do all three, or were you on a team, or how did that go for you? I know you brought a lot of family members into this.
I did. When I first started, I did the whole thing. I did all three events, and I did all three events for several years, many years. And then, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago, or I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, I decided, no, not that long. 6 years ago, I decided to do one event and have my cousins and my sisters and friends compete with me. And so over the years, we've had over five different teams of three people competing on many of those years. And of course, raising money at the same time for the Cancer Foundation.
That's excellent. And how much have you raised, Roxana?
Over the 13 years that I've been doing, well, this will be my 13th year. So for the 12 years that I've been doing it, I have raised over $16,000.
That's absolutely
every
amazing.
Every year I raise a little more. Last year I raised over $5,000 in just last year. So I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I'm going to do my best to beat that, because that's what I've been doing every year. I don't know if I will or not.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure you will. I have no doubt, Roxana. And talk to me about training for it. And has it changed over the years as you've gotten older doing this? Because you've gone back to doing all three, correct?
That is correct. I do all three events, swim, bike, and run. It's just that things go slower now than they did. I will be 69 when I compete this year, 69 years old when I compete this year. And I, although I raise a little more money every year, I think my time gets a little slower every year. And so that's okay with me. I do everything a little slower, but I still do everything. You know, I certainly don't run as fast as I used to. In fact, there are times when I do a little bit of walking during the run part of the triathlon. But I still am a go-getter on the bike, and I'm still a go-getter in the water. So, definitely not as strong as I used to be, but I still love it. It's still one of my favorite days of the year when I compete in the Try for a Cure. Love it.
Roxana, this is David Neely, and I got to applaud you, because basically what you're speaking to is what the name of this program is, and it's Senior Power. The fact that you continue to participate because of your passion. And by the way, when you say, oh, your time's not quite as good, I'm not sure Most people can even do a triathlon or any part of that and be able to come out of it without being sore or exhausted.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. It's just when you, on the day, you know, this year, again, is going to be virtual. So we will not do it as the 1,000 and something women together, but we will all do it separately. And on that day when all of the women are gathered together, it's just the most exciting day of the year for me. I can't tell you how emotional it is to be doing that for cancer research and cancer and, you know, to help cancer patients. And because I know that I've been affected by the loss from cancer, and I know that every person that does this race has been affected, and there's nobody I know that hasn't. So it's just a very emotional time and a wonderful event. See, I always write a story every year for my fundraising page, and I this year, for example, I am doing the Try for a Cure for all of us who have been touched by the loss of cancer and the pain of cancer. I'm also doing it this year for a dear friend of mine named Sandy, who was just diagnosed about a month ago for the third time of metastatic breast cancer. So she's fighting again for her life, and she's a trooper. She's a warrior. She's a trooper. She's brave, and she's fighting again. So she's on my list of people this year. She's on the top of my list of people this year. I actually, the first year that I did the triathlon, I did it for my mother, who had passed away from brain cancer, which is insidious and crazy. But she was a warrior, too. And
she certainly was.
She was. And I have... I just have lists and lists of people who are so brave. Lynn, your mom, you know, it's just, it's amazing to me how these people fight. And as I'm running around the three, you know, five kilometer route, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm crazy for doing this. It's why am I still doing this? And then I think about the people on my list, and that's why I do it. That's why.
And when is it happening, Roxana? What's the date for it?
The date this year is July. I believe it starts on, because it's virtual, so there's not one day. There's a two-week span that you have to complete your triathlon in. And I believe it's July 13th to the 26th.
Okay. And is it, and where do people go to donate if they just want to make a donation?
You can go to the webpage, the Try for a Cure webpage.
Okay.
And if people would like to make a donation to a specific person, they go to the webpage and they type in that person's name.
Excellent.
And that person's name comes up, and they would be able to donate then directly to them.
Well, Roxana, yeah. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for asking me. I'm honored.
And welcome, Gary Crocker.
Listen, let's share a Down East moment. You think it's going to rain, Grandma? Well, be a long dry spell if it don't. Another Down East moment. Lived here all your life? Not yet. Well, I don't really care about that anyway. I just want to know, how do you get to Bangor? Well, my brother usually takes me.
Now we have Brad Dyer of the Senior Planning Center with us. And could you just hit a few of the trigger points that may set off the need for a Medicare beneficiary to, at almost any time of year, look at a special enrollment period?
Yeah, that is such a great question. And I'll tell you, you do this long enough, you learn some great tips and tricks. And when I say tricks, I don't mean anything nefarious. But what I'm saying is, it used to be the belief that you just had to wait till October 15th through December 7th. That's the annual enrollment period. And then there were some special enrollment periods, depending if you moved or if you left employer coverage. And if you are leaving employer coverage, don't panic. You have a special election period, lasts 63 days. But what we discovered is that we can enroll anybody, just about anybody, year-round. So if you're on an expensive Medicare supplement or on a Medicare health plan that isn't serving you, a drug plan that isn't serving you, it's very likely that when you engage us that we could get that plan changed as early as the beginning, the first day of the next month, even if it's on the last day of the month if you move fast enough. So I would say if you're out there going, we haven't shopped this forever, or wow, this is expensive, and you're trying to figure out how you're going to make it, you really ought to engage one of our teammates. I've got a great team, our client support team, that you can call at 223-207-223-6565. And they're fantastic. Or call or come visit one of our offices. We do take walk-ins, so if you want to come see us. You might be amazed. We can save people up to $10,000 a year as a couple. And I'm not throwing that number out just because a few people we've done that with. We do that so often, it's old hat here. So they really should engage us if they feel like a change is needed.
Thanks again, Brad. Great to have you on.
Thanks, David. See ya.
Now we welcome Mary and Jimmy of Maine Seniors Magazine. And I guess this is when readers write and Mary and Jimmy respond in each and every issue of Maine Seniors. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, David. It's nice to be on the show today, and I hope we can answer a lot of questions for these nice people that write in.
Okay, so question one. Susan writes, I've been married for 45 years to a wonderful man. We've lived in Maine our entire lives, and I thought we were happy here. Recently, my husband said he'd like to move to Nevada permanently. He wants to get a place near Las Vegas. He's not a big gambler, but he thinks now that he's retired, he needs more excitement in his life. I think he's gone off his rocker. He's been harping about it for 3 straight months. What am I to do? I don't want to live in the desert.
Oh, dear. Susan, I hear your frustration. I strongly suggest that you and your husband maybe take a couple of weeks vacation to Nevada, including some trips to the casinos in the area. Make sure that you do take him out in the desert, ride around for a couple of days while he's not at the casinos so that you can have some off time. That would be a good start. It would give you something to really talk about. And it might change his mind a little bit once you go visit.
Well, what if he started thinking you should move to northern Slavovia, Susan? I mean, for some post-retirement fun there. Would you pack up and visit there for 3 weeks? Nah, if I were you, I'd check to see if he has any warrants out for him in Maine. That's the only possible reason I can think of to move to Nevada at this point in your life.
Okay, I wanted to share with you the June 2021 issue. I was in Maine Seniors, and I was lucky enough to have a nice interview with Jerry Mathers, and I hope you remember who Jerry Mathers was. That was the Beaver. And so that's a great interview in the June issue, is the remembrance of the TV show that influenced all the seniors. I am sure that it would be hard not to find someone that hasn't watched Leave It to Beaver.
For more information on what's coming up in Maine Seniors, or for information in the back issues, go to meseniors.com. Lynn, so you know who we have coming up next. What is it that you think we ought to tease up Noel Paul Stuckey with?
Oh, my absolute favorite, Puff the Magic Dragon.
Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff,
you know, I was a young rock and roller in high school, had a rhythm and blues group called the Birds of Paradise, wrote a couple of really definitive copies of songs. I mean, I was an imitator for a long time until I got to Greenwich Village, and for the first time understood that music could not only be entertaining, but it might be instructional and it might even be inspiring. And that led me to re-examine my life. You know, to a large extent, I think my character has been formed by the love of two wonderful parents and this thing called folk music. And then you add the spiritual component of love, and it's been just a wonderful 83 years, I gotta tell you. And so far, the response to the new album, Just Causes, which has Revolution on it and has a song that pertains to the people that taught me about folk music, particularly Pete Seeger, a song called Not That Kind of Music, which was written originally, or when I first started writing it, I thought it was just a song about music that had a message. But then I realized, it's more than that. It's writing about the man who knew that music had a message, and that was Pete Seeger, and I was so fortunate to be able to sing it for him before he passed away.
You know, the other thing I have to note for our listening audience, we are senior power. You're 83 years old, and you said you're still writing songs.
Well, yeah, because I'm not I'm not a disciplined songwriter. That is to say, I don't go into the studio for 2 or 3 hours every day and grind them out. I'm a cathartic kind of writer, and I respond to those issues that we face as human beings. And of course, they're different as you get older. So the subject material keeps coming up, and as long as I feel like I can make a contribution to the perspective, then I'm going to continue. My voice is still pretty good. I gave up smoking when I was in my 20s. And so I'm still a pretty healthy guy. I'm thankful for that. And my wife keeps me well fed. And I'll tell you, living in the state of Maine is a glorious way to stay healthy. There's all kinds of physical activity available to you just out your door, the walk through the woods, the walk down by the shoreline. And then there are the people, who... what's that line in the Revolution song? We're a raggle-taggle army. We got no uniform or guns, but we've been called by coincidence, so maybe we're the ones. I go back to a caution that Betty's mom said to her, when Betty was just celebrating the fact that the people were so nice in Maine. And her mom said, well, honey, you got to understand, the ones that moved there all moved there for the same reason. And the reason is like with a capital R, too. We're just drawn to the peace and comfort that the natural life in Maine offers.
And, I've always suggested to folks that if they look around their communities and ask themselves, why do I have that strong sense of community? In part, it's due to seniors. It's in part due to people who move here for that very feel. Sometimes it's like a step back, if you will, into a different time, a little bit of nostalgia of the way things once were, a little bit slower pace of life, perhaps. And part of that can be, obviously the environment and as you said, the walk in the woods. Don't mean to be like a Henry David Thoreau or the walk along the coastline type thing. But ultimately, it sort of comes down to the theme in your song, One by One. I believe that most of us, one by one, will be kind and will smile and will enjoy, each other in a respectful, courteous way. And I think sometimes when there are certain elements that try and suggest that things are divisive, it's too easy to believe that. But your one by one revolution suggests to me the kind of revolution that's perhaps needed now as much as almost any other time. I mean, I'm not selling short all that went on in that March of 1963, but certainly today has its challenges as well. So the one-by-one revolution is good therapy for all to listen to. Sometimes you sort of hearken back to your childhood as a little bit of a inspiration for some of your music too. And I was wondering what you meant by that.
I think the wide open spaces and the freedom that came with being able to, I just wrote recently, wake up in the morning, open the door, and recognize the fact that there was no way you were going to use up everything that the day had to offer you. You know, one of the hidden values, it seems to me, particularly of Maine now, I don't remember it quite so much in Maryland, and when I lived in Michigan, it was mostly in the suburbs, but there's a reticence to be sucked into somebody's press releases by the inhabitants, the citizenry of Maine. You know, I mean, they don't, Tim Sample probably sum it up better, but all I can do is kind of tell a story on the man that we bought the hen house from about, 6 months after we made the purchase, and we were living in a rental house down on South Street in Blue Hill. And my wife, Betty, was trying to resurrect a nursery school, and so she had a fundraiser. Well, a lot of people knew me from, you know, Pup the Magic Dragon or the March on Washington or what. I was keeping kind of a low profile, and so I did this fundraiser at Town Hall in Blue Hill, and when it was all over and the audience had left, and I think they enjoyed themselves. They found out a bit more about me, and but I was packing up my guitar, and Paul Sylvester was just standing there, and he wasn't saying anything, and it got kind of awkward after a while, because I usually expect people to say, like, I like your tune, or gee, you play nice guitar, or, and he wasn't saying anything, he was just standing there. And finally, as I snapped the lock, the last lock on my guitar case, he says in a Downeast accent that I'm not very good at imitating, but he says, yeah, there's a lot worse ways to get to know your neighbors. And with that, he left the hall.
Oh,
and I thought about that for a while, you know, and it took me a while to figure out that was probably a compliment. I mean, I think what he was saying was, you could have made an ass of yourself somewhere along your stay here, but you didn't, and this worked out pretty well.
Well, you know, that's a great story, and it does speak to the way many, many Mainers act, and yet you may have moved him as much as anybody in the room, and yet that's the way he spoke up, right?
Yeah, but I think in Maine, you know, you could come in with all the horns blaring that you want, you know, and all the money dragged behind you and all the influence and the headlines. But if you can't prove yourself on a person-to-person level with the people who live there, then you're just another blowhard, you know. So, and you're never going to be a Maine native, of course, you know, that great story. I think it was Bradley Brownlow, who was a doctor at the hospital. His wife, when she was pregnant, she found herself breaking water, I think, in Portsmouth, or maybe it was a little further north. But anyway, she said, you know, get me to the hospital because we could, you know, let's have a native-born boy. And sure enough, they made it to the hospital in time. And a couple of, I guess, maybe a month later, she was into Marilyn Hinckley at the store, and allowed as how though she and her husband had moved there, her son was a native Mainer, and two old codgers in the corner said, well, just because the cat crawls in the oven, don't make them biscuits.
Oh, that's right.
Medicare is so confusing. I didn't know where to get help, but I wouldn't call a plumber in Arizona to fix my pipes in Maine. So don't call some out-of-state 800 number to navigate Medicare plans when your help is right here at home. The Senior Planning Center represents all Medicare Health and Part D plans. They have trusted professional experts in every county. You should call them for your free Medicare review.
Call 223-6565 today. That's 223-6565.
Flowers gone, long time passing. Where have all flowers gone, long time ago. Where have all the flowers gone? Young girls have picked them, every one. Oh, when will they ever learn? Oh, when will they ever learn?
I don't know if you and Betty are still doing this, but back along you had the multi-faith program, One Light, Many Candles. Is that something you'd like to speak to?
Yeah, right. That's right. Well, we're, you know, like you have stated, we're in our 80s and it gets more and more difficult for us to move around. But Betty, bless her, she took it online. So now anybody who wants to do a One Light, Many Candles presentation can go to... One Light, Many Candles, you know, all strung in a row with no spaces in between, .org, and find out how to do your own and read a little about what we've done and what the purpose is and how it's been greeted by folks. So it's still happening. It's just hopefully, you know, happening on a younger scale by folks who are a little bit more maneuverable than we are.
Well, and I have to, hats off to you for being so forthcoming and obviously so diverse in your interest and for the benefit of Maine, too, because you're a great representation of what we like to believe about Maine, that we're basically a good people, and that when people do come up, oh, we might be curious at first and a little reluctant to hug them. Immediately, but in our own way, we do welcome them, and we look forward to having them as neighbors, because I think that they're sort of, and maybe part of it's just because there are a lot of small communities, and of course, you know, with Blue Hill, a perfect example of a small community where over time, most people are going to know that you're there, whether you like it or not. And although actually you're probably somewhat iconic there now, but I mean, I'm sure when you first moved in, like you said, it probably took a while before people realized that you were among them. But another artist that you had back along, I believe, am I right that Gordon Bach had done some recording with you?
Actually, I had produced Gordon's first record for a label in California. You know, I think it was Verve Folkways, I think was the name of the label. He and his wife at the time, Pat, were really responsible for Betty and I coming down east, because we had an RV, we had our twins, our older daughter Liz, and we were out looking for property in 1971-72, and we stopped by because I knew Gordon because he had gone to school with Betty's brother, and they were both at Hebron. And he said, well, Gordon said, you're not going to find anything here or south, you know, if you're looking for coastal property. He said, you got to go down east. So we did. We had a great drive, and just coming down over that hill from East Blue Hill into Blue Hill, and then past the town hall and the hospital and the GSA and the library. I mean, it was, you know, Blue Hill was like a picture-perfect little New England hamlet. And it really hasn't changed a whole bunch. I think maybe some of the action's gone out of town, but we don't have a mall there yet, fortunately. And the people still, you know, nod to each other, say hello on the streets. Most of us know each other. And we get, you know, we get overwhelmed by tourists somehow when it's bumper-to-bumper traffic in a small town on the coast of Maine. But it has stood the test of time for us. We dearly love being citizens of that town.
Thank you again, Noel Paul. Great having you on.
You bet.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Senior Power.
My insurance kept going up and up and up and up.
I was getting a lot of mail about Medicare.
I could never have navigated through the loopholes.
Mainers across the state are finding help at Senior Planning Center, which represents all major Medicare health plans.
Senior Planning Center was a lifesaver.
Senior Planning Center did it all.
Gave me all my options and signed me up with what I needed within an hour.
Call 223-6565. 223-6565. Help when it matters most. SeniorPlanningCenter.com.